Okay, for today's lesson, I want to spend a little bit of time and talk about kata interpretation. I had a question from one of my students not that long ago with reference to one of the Okinawan kata, a very important kata in many systems. Can't remember the name of it. Sorry, I didn't study the Okinawan arts. So, okay, the only of the Okinawan kata I ever took the time to learn was Nihonshi Shoden, and I couldn't remember today for anything. I have students in Canada who take care of that one for me if it is necessary. System that I founded, we have about 40 kata in it, and to start adding more, no, enough is enough, right? But anyways, is one kata more important than the other? No, they're not. I approach kata interpretation differently than most of the people in Kyusho do, and I do it for a good reason. It doesn't do you any good for me to tell you what move three is in Nihonshi and have you do it and practice it, right? The way the brain works when it is learning, that is not going to accomplish anything other than than helping you memorize things. What I much prefer to do is to give you guidelines by which you will interpret the kata in your own system. So at a novice level, and even at maybe a first degree level, or even a second degree level, you take a fairly simple kata from your system. One, however, that does have a lot of movements in it. We use quite a few of the old ITF hyang, right? And one of them is chunji. Chunji, turn left, low block, step forward, punch, turn right, low block, and then you do that in four directions, and then it goes to an L stance in the middle block and a step forward punch. Hey, not a whole lot to interpret in that. Right? You don't have a whole much of a variety of movements. But if we go up to the next one, which is Dangun, we got some stuff we can play with, right? And I encourage you to do is to take your kata and take a look at one or two moves only in it. You don't need to start chaining them together. You can do that later. And see what you see in it. Now, we take a look at this from the idea that there are only three ways a person will ever attack you. Right? They're either going to push you, they're going to grab you, or they're going to hit you. And a punch, or a knife hand, or a kick, or somebody's trying to stab you or hit you with a baseball bat. It's all a punch, right? It's all the same. The only difference is the distance or the reach of the object, right? But it's all the same idea as a punch, right? It's an impact, right? Now, the best place, in my view, to start with it is to go in the middle and use the grab. Right. You certainly can do it off of the push, and you should be able to take two or three moves and do a push, a grab, and a punch. That is the ultimate of being able to interpret it. Now, there are no bad interpretations. They're just better ones. Back when I was with my first instructor, there is a kata in there. I cannot remember the name of it. We were doing it at a very high level. We were doing it around, I think, around third or fourth degree black belt. Yuche Hyung. And in this pattern, there's a scissors kick. And I asked what the scissors kick was for. What are we doing when we're doing this scissors kick? And the response that I got was it was for taking two different men off of horses. You jump up between the horses and you kick them off the horses. All right. I never asked another question with regards to that again. Now, he was only reiterating what he was told. Right. It's not that that's wrong, but logistically, you're going to be attacked by two guys on a horse who happen to be riding almost in perfect sync with each other, because it's almost in perfect sync because the in a scissors kick, the twisting kick, or the off-center front kick, whatever you want to call it, does lead the side kick with the other leg. Right? It's not an interpretation. Right? It's an explanation to shut the student up. Right? Now, you're going to find things like that in kata that, yes, they can be interpreted, but they're going to take some serious thoughts about it. And I also don't like the interpretations that come sometimes that are not explainable. Now, I credit the ITF, the Taekwondo patterns, because Hapkido has no patterns, so we stole theirs, right? I credit a lot of it with being designed for show, not for go. Because if you look at the history of the patterns themselves, they were heavily influenced by Shotokan. Right? Now, the Shotokan stuff has quite a bit of go into it. Right? Taekwondo stuff, not so much. Right? But there is still a lot of wonderful stuff lying in those patterns. And what you want to be able to do is start to see it, start to see what these movements can be. Because when you start to see yourself, what is possibly in those movements, and then you've got somebody who's guiding you and maybe making a few adjustments along the line, then the brain is more likely to do the movement if it needs to. Because when you're telling your subconscious that it needs to do this particular movement, and your conscious mind is going, yeah, but it's crap, you're never going to be able to use it. Now, when I talk about the things that happen in patterns with regards to aren't there, there are better answers to it. A good example that that is out in the Kyusho world is the idea of the bow. The beginning of the pattern is an example of after you have done the ready stance, you struck as an example at the inguinal crease with the ready stance. And the bow signifies them coming off their feet. That's not my idea of what pattern interpretation would be. You're far better off to take the bow and realize the fact that it's a cultural thing, right, than to try to interpret it as something that does not apply to the actual situation, right? This is why I like kata to be interpreted as close as possible. Right? It is also okay in your interpretation to realize that the angles are going to be different. You are trying to learn this and do these interpretations so that you can widen the scope of the movements that are available from your subconscious when you need them. I mean, that's what muscle memory is. It's subconscious movement. Right? And the more something is practiced with you thinking about, yeah, I see this, this would be useful. The unconscious mind takes you at your word, and it is more likely to be able to use that. Now, we also get into something here as well, which is, I know, is a concern with many people, is this idea of a preemptive striking, right? And that you need to teach a student to block. Problem with teaching the student to block is the fact that the brain won't block. The only way to block a punch is with your face, right? Block means to what? It doesn't mean to deflect. It doesn't mean to parry. It means to stop. You have blocked the road. You've stopped the traffic on the road. And you've got to realize that that information goes in verbatim. I do not teach people to block. So I do not teach them to strike first either. I teach them to be defensive. I teach them to respond to what has happened and to use Kyusho along with their root art to respond to what has happened and see the idea that as you're interpreting these kata, it is always in response to what someone else has done, right? But if you start talking about block this, block that, block, it's not going to happen. We have something that was referred to as a middle block, right? And I know you do too, or a low block. If you throw a punch and I hit you with what I call inward strike block, well, knows the word strike, it's going to hurt lots because I'm going to absolutely hit large intestine 10 or lung 5, depending on the positions, for all it is worth. Okay, there's nothing block about it. So you got to realize what your programming has done. So to address someone's concern about a student getting into trouble with preemptive striking and stuff, which is a valid concern, it's called discipline. It's called mental focus and discipline, self-discipline, learning to control yourself. It's a tenet. Right? It's got nothing to do with the self-defense response. I'm really good with a knife, but I've never carved anybody up. Right? Never will, I hope. You gotta realize how the programming works, and this is one of the reasons that the interpretation, the bunkai, however you want to call it, is so very important, and it must be something that you own. So when somebody sends me part of their exam, what their interpretations of the movement are, I want to see the movements. I like to see the whole kata, actually. I like the demonstration of the kata, just so I can see it, because I love them, they're beautiful. Okay, I'm going to take these two, three, four, whatever movements, and this is what my response is going to be to those movements, right? So this is how I want you to approach your interpretation of kata. Now, the way the other groups around are doing it, it's not wrong, right? It's not wrong at all. However, it's a difference between the ability down the road to use it or the ability to just have something that is very traditional and very nice to view. And there's nothing wrong with that. But my mandate is to make you safe on the street with what you owe. I will get into this a little bit later, but I have told the story of a friend who I know, a Chicago cop, who shall remain nameless in this, who ended up alone in a battle with a guy who was on PCP. He had many, 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 many years of martial arts training, and he was teaching police officers. What saved his life was his knowledge of Kyusho. And he will also credit the fact of the way he interpreted movements in kata, movements in foundations, movements everywhere, because martial arts is all about movement. And it's about teaching yourself and making movements automatic. You can practice a movement 10,000 times. If you practice it without your brain involved in it, it might as well have been 10 times. It's a mind-body connection. That's it for today's lesson. You guys have a great day, and we will see you soon. Ciao.